Welcome to Richly Abundant Women with Julie Steelman on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Let's start shifting from yearning to powerfully earning and beyond. As we reclaim our financial power, we start making more, keeping more, and giving more. This is wealth to be lived, freedom to be enjoyed, and having the audacity to live richly abundant lives. How do you increase your earning power? Where does your creativity and financial destiny meet? If you're ready to be a richly abundant woman, dust off your moxie, pull up your spreadsheets, and crack open your journal. We need the templates, models, and the big ideas. Julie encourages listeners to break free from inherited beliefs that keep us making just enough to shifting us permanently into changing our financial destiny. Why yearn when you can powerfully earn? Get ready to shape your destiny into a vision of freedom and prosperity. Richly Abundant Women with Julie Steelman starts now.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to today's episode of Richly Abundant Women. This is the place where we're going to shift from yearning to powerfully earning. And today is a magical day. It couldn't come at a better time because we're going to be talking about resilience, revolutions, and revenue. And I can't think of a better person to have that conversation with than Shiloh Sophia McLeod. So we want to welcome Shiloh. Say hi to everybody.
Hello, everyone. I'm so delighted to be with all of you talking about these super juicy topics. Thanks, Julie, for having me.
Thank you so much for being here. I actually want to read you her bio because I don't know any other bio that sounds like this. And I think expresses it beautifully. I know it's always like a shy moment when people read my bio. I'm like, but I want to really have you, those of you who don't know who Shiloh is, really capture the essence of this incredible woman who has been a mentor, a friend, and a colleague to me in deep, meaningful ways that would take me hours to completely explain. But I want you to get the sense of where she's coming from, because if there's anybody better to talk to us about, there isn't anybody better to talk to us about resiliency and revolutions and deep felt heart wisdom, especially with the world that we find ourselves in. It's like a new world order on a daily basis. And so what are we going to do with that? Right. And so I think this time with Shiloh is really going to be powerful, but it's also super timely. So Shiloh Sophia lives her life as a great adventure narrated by the creative fire of her muse. Like, can we already swoon, right? She's dedicated her life to the belief that self-expression is a basic human right. She shares her message with thousands, and she does. Her tribes and her communities are huge around the world through her paintings, poetry, and teachings. I've actually never met another artist who uses her artwork, and I call it work, right? Because it is working on us while we're looking at it and interacting with it. And she leads a global movement of revolutionary education focused in intentional creativity, as offered in programs like Color of Woman Teacher Training, which I am a graduate, proud to say. And she's co-founded a studio and a center for intentional creativity called Musea in Sonoma, California, with her husband, Jonathan, who, by the way, is a radically awesome chef. So anytime Jonathan's involved, my hand is up and I'm in. And most mornings, she can be found having tea with her muse, poring over quantum physics, philosophy, and sacred texts. And you can find her in the Red Thread Cafe on Facebook if you want to join her community and really partake of the wealth of wisdom that Shiloh shares on a regular basis. So hi, and thank you for musing with us today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me and giving us an opportunity to bring relevancy to these topics and discovering how we can inspire each of you, regardless of what you're experiencing right now, to Move in a philanthropic nature, even if in your spirit, as opposed to the, you know, sort of default setting of status quo and
right
below. How can we set up the framework of our awareness to be generative instead of diminutive?
I love that you said that, because the word that keeps coming to me is benevolence, which is a centered, grounded place, but it also has a lot of generosity in it. And it also, I was talking to a group yesterday, one of your Profound Programs motherboard, and I was leaving a prosperity call with them. And we were talking about this idea of how much we care for and want to help other people through our businesses and our offerings and our gifts and our talents, but to also be really grounded and mindful that our own personal needs have also escalated, right? And that this idea of being really grounded and resilient is a powerful posture to hold right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So tell people, there may be some people listening who don't know exactly what intentional creativity is. Give us a little taste of what you mean by that and what it's about.
Absolutely. So intentional creativity will help create the context for what I'm about to share, because everything in my life, my relationships, my finances, my business, everything is through the framework of intentional creativity. And it's very simple and very ancient. And all it is this awareness to say, whatever I make or engage with, I do so with intention and hopefully with love. And that's the basic premise. The grandmother who's knitting the blanket is doing this automatically. The mama or papa who's making soup for their kids is doing this automatically. The lover who makes the bed that they know they're going to make love to their partner in is doing this. The painter who paints a vision. We're all always doing this. What intentional creativity as a movement does is invites us to become more and more conscious about those acts of intention. And one of the reasons why we invite that level of awareness is because of exponential amplification. When you bring your awareness to whatever it is you're engaging with, the capacity for the increase in resonance, connectivity, inherent profitability, however you want to look at that, every single thing that we engage with has an opportunity to be amplified. And all it takes is one person bringing that awareness to a given scenario, making art, building a community, founding a bank, whatever it is, that one person changes the field. And then if someone else is with them, they automatically get changed in the field. And then if more and more people are in that, so we're basically operating inside of a framework of potential change started by the intention of one person. We saw this in different places in the world where people did experiments where there would be people meditating and praying in certain geographic areas, and the crime would go down, right?
Right.
We've seen this over and over. We know this is so. This is not just a woo-woo. The woo-woo know about it, but it's also based in physics.
Oh, I'm just, my heart is just opening, listening to you. I feel like every time that you're speaking, it's coated with such medicine. And I feel like this perspective that you offer is such a beautiful perspective, right? And it's steeped in beauty. And I feel like only an artist would be able to express it that way. And I love that you're able to navigate sort of not just the quote artistic realm, but the realm of women and femininity and being an entrepreneur. I think you're one of the most profound entrepreneurs that I've ever met. And I know for me, really being around the world of intentional creativity and you, I have found that I was remembering this whole thing about, you know, past economic fluctuations or panics or changes in being in the corporate world. And I was selling advertising revenue and to get called into big, huge board meetings. And I'd be there, the only female with 10 executives in their Armani suits, right? And they'd be it'd be kind of the tough boy thing about, we're going to cancel our contract. We want to renegotiate rates or reduce rates or payment terms. And it wasn't a time to panic. because they were looking to me for answers. And I was also looking at how do I be of service and how do I hold all this together? Because they really aren't going to want to cancel their advertising, right? And I could go into long stories about that, but I didn't know that what I was doing at the time was accessing a feminine superpower that we have of being creative versus reactive. And that was sort of my expression of an intentional creativity in that moment, right? Was being intentional with what was happening, but also holding the container so that what they were being challenged with and faced with and letting people go and trying to cancel contracts and mitigate loss and keep profit margin high, right? And yet, how do you do that in this crazy world? And so I think this is a powerful tool for people to really be applying in their lives in terms of that made me very resilient. And yes, I'm impacted by these big epic changes. And yes, they affect me emotionally and they affect me deeply. I feel things through the money field and I feel the financial impact on so many levels. And so I want to ask you about, you know, what's been your experience or what would you tell people about how to use being intentional, conscious, and creative as a way to really amplify one's resiliency?
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess it depends on who you're talking to, right? Because it's a different conversation when you're talking to people in the corporate arena or the entrepreneur sector. The corporate arena is not really at liberty unless they're going to be really radical to change the focus on what is considered the bottom line from a shareholder perspective. So corporations are inherently designed to do a certain thing and are considered, you know, not healthy if they're not doing that thing. So in times of loss or potential loss, they're trying to preserve a bottom line or a percentage, which is not relevant to the context of what's happening.
Correct.
In the marketplace.
Right.
And they are called to do that almost ethically. And this is a great tragedy. I love so many parts of capitalism. And this is one part that I don't love because I feel what an entrepreneur has the freedom to do is to adjust what our bottom line actually means. Like there may be moments in the company of a bottom line being profitability, or there may be moments around supporting employees, or there may be moments of financing a project. And so to have this fluid bottom line that continues to move and somehow this trust that in the end, it will resolve and work itself out in the spirit of philanthropy. And if it doesn't, at least in the meantime, you're doing what you need to do instead of compromising each person's soul in order to achieve some arbitrary bottom line, which is for the benefit of the few instead of the benefit of the many. So we have several corporations and we also have a not-for-profit and I also have a sole proprietorship. So one of the things that we do that's unique inside of our corporation is to actually run it from an entrepreneurial headset, which goes contraindicated to everything. But that's what we do. And so we continue to have the energy of philanthropy and prosperity and serving the community. Our bottom line is not, nor has ever been, profitability. My corporate friends say this will be my downfall. And I say, this is the falling in love with the world. And I will do what I will do as long as I will do it, as long as I'm capable of doing it in integrity with how me and my team feel about what is needed instead of the future of the company. What is the future of a company if you, as the founders and shareholders and staff, are not in agreement? There's no future in that kind of behavior.
Yeah. You know, the whole corporate thing is like having been in the inner circle for a long time is like there's kind of what motive the decision makers typically, and I think there's some sea changes happening with more consciousness coming in and people being more philanthropic oriented or do good oriented in their business models. But the traditional perspective really is that people don't always know is that it's about meeting the approval of board of directors so that you stay in your leadership position. It's a bit like government, but being in the leadership position, you know, you're trying to manage, you're given metrics every year and those are always money, profitability, profit margin metrics. If you meet or exceed those, you get a big fat lots of zeros paycheck January 1st, right? And so the motivation is around preserving that for a couple of elite individuals. And so what you're describing here is running your corporations with an entrepreneurial mindset. It's actually the birthright of that spirit to be creative and co-creative, right? And that you get to shift and pivot and adapt to what's happening in the marketplace. And it becomes all more centered around, what do my clients need right now versus what does the business need so I can save my ass?
Right. How can we create resiliency at this time? I've had a handful of different corporations and not-for-profit reach out for to create resiliency for these times. And I'm like, okay, we could do this, this, and this. This is how this could be financed. This is how this could meet 100,000 people tomorrow, but we need to implement now. And they can't get through the paperwork. And instead, in our community, we're like, we put out a sign-up sheet. We're like, we need help. This is when we need help. These are the time zones. We need to just sign up. We need, yesterday we had a call with close to 250 people that was signed up by 2,000 people. And I asked for teachers in the community, come and be in this. So when we do breakout groups, there's one person per. Like, there's no time to waste figuring stuff out.
No.
And there is a need today that is rapidly changing. And the more opportunities all of us have to receive support, the more we will be resilient in this. And then also I really feel that when those who are well enough to give, I want to make that point. I'm not talking about overgiving. Well enough to give, give, you get energy. You get the missing energy. You think you need energy to give, but actually you need to give to get energy.
Okay, that right there, people, was a profound moment. That's what Oprah would call a tweetable moment. And it's like, what you're saying is that to get resiliency, if we're in resiliency, we're being intentional, we're being creative, it's generative, it gives us energy. But I think another part of that is it creates agility. And that's as entrepreneurs and women who are out to serve and help and, have global impact and change around the world, agility is required because things move too fast. And we don't know this idea that we're going to go back to a comfortable baseline, I think has been gone for a really long time, but this is going to really have you know that the only baseline is your inner sovereignty and your own ability to generate your own resiliency and not try to find it outside.
That's right.
All right. So with that, we're going to take a short break. I'm going to come back with Shiloh. We're going to talk about revolutions and build on this idea of resiliency and really dive deeply into that. And Shiloh, how can people find out more about you?
You can go to musea.org and know that the website is still in process. We haven't even fully released it yet. So it's going to change every time you come. But the basics are there. So it's musea.org.
Great. And then I think you have a free gift also at theillustrativewoman.com. So we'll be back very quickly. And stay tuned because we've got lots more to share with you.
Coming to you live on TransformationTalkRadio.com is The Brilliance Ultimatum, Time's Up with Claudette Rowley. Powerful conversations, practical innovations, and transformative solutions as Claudette and her guests delve into the possibilities and what she calls reality resistance. Join the cultural revolution and annihilate obstacles. Check it out at culturalbrilliance.com.
What would you do with the power of community? How do you create your own rituals? Tune in to Living Your Gifts with me, Susan Huff, Ancient Applications for Modern Times, the second Wednesday of each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Our lives begin with the stories we are told and the stories we tell ourselves. Storytelling is the key. To learn more about me, visit livingyourgifts.com. That's livingyourgifts.com.
Sanskrit is not just a language to be written and spoken, but it is a doorway to gaining understanding of how we experience life and truth. Conscious Confidence is a book written by Sanskrit scholar Sarah Main. The stories Sarah shares will take you on a journey of understanding how the power of this ancient language is not only still relevant, but can truly transform your everyday life. Drawing upon the deeper meanings behind the Sanskrit words for confidence, Sarah Main outlines principles for harnessing the fourfold energy of conscious confidence: focusing, uniting, simplifying, and energizing. Not just a book, a life guide. Available now on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Inner Traditions. You can find all of those links on consciousconfidence.com.
Hi, I'm Laura Meeks, and the most common problem that my clients face is all work and no play. This is why I created Fly High Living. I help you develop a balanced life plan and guide you to a place where you love to wake up in the morning.
Call 888-666-1570 or go to flyhighliving.com to sign up for the 4-week Flight Plan for Life course.
Yeah, yippee skippy to that, baby. We're not done yet. Some of us are out here to educate and inspire. This year, 2020, is the year we gotta show me the money in the cash flow. I'm Dr. Pat. This is the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By.
Visit thedrpatshow.com.
Welcome back to Richly Abundant Women. I'm Julie Steelman, and I'm here with special guest Shiloh Sophia McLeod. Oh, feels so good to be here in this space with us being able to be agile and open and willing to talk about, you know, what we're talking about today, which is resiliency, revolutions, and revenue. Which is not any small undertaking, right? Mm-hmm. And I want to point out that in Shiloh's background is a photograph of a jaguar, which is one of her spirit animals. And his name is Marley. And I took that photo. And I love him because he's really demonstrating who we can be during this time as that proud majesty and accessing our divine feline, right? Like, what can we do to still be ourselves and activate resiliency? And I know that those of us that are these high creative spirits that have this entrepreneurial visions, that we're probably, like most of us, are being very heavily downloaded with lots of new ideas as we see things shifting and moving, right? So talk to us a little bit about someone who's founded and forwarded, let me say that another way, who's founded and started a number of revolutions. You know, what would you say to someone who's got that revolutionary heart about what they can do now, what's possible now?
I think it depends on what era we're in, what time we're in the world. I would say someone with a revolutionary spirit right now would do well to consider finding a revolution that's already in motion.
Why do you say that?
Well, because founding and maintaining a revolution, you could think of it almost like a spiritual gift. Not everybody has it, and not everybody has that willpower, that fortitude. I think some of us come in with it. Yeah. And it's not for everyone. And if everyone has their own revolution, there will be nobody in the movement. And so not everybody should do that. There are so many revolutions that I am also a part of, right, and working with, that I've invested money and time and resources in other revolutions besides the one that I'm a part of. And so I would say right now at this time, we don't need a whole bunch of new structures that require a pull. What would be ideal, I think, for those with the heart to serve would be to find organizations that are already doing something awesome and lend your gift into that. And I would say instead of being to do the thing where the need is the most, mm-hmm. because that actually burns us out, no matter how much you love.
Yeah,
you choose the thing that is specific to you. So I work with artists. I'm focusing on artists. And because that feeds my own artist, then I seem to have this amazing energy restoration because that's the demographic that I'm focusing on, because that's what I am. So for you to choose something that is already in line with something you care about, that something's already in motion, like how can I give my energy to that? And even though I'm, you know, financing and working my own revolution, I've reached out to 3 other revolution makers in the past week saying, here's what I could do for you.
Yeah. I love that idea of thinking about it in terms of that whole spirit of, oh, I have to go lift this thing up and put it out into the world is, yeah, do that. But think of it as more a contribution, and where can I augment what's already happening out there? And, you know, I was sitting with this whole thing, and I'm getting downloaded with, I can't even think about how many ideas and how many books and blah, but that's what happens. I'm a Scorpio and the shit hits the fan and I get activated to creativity, and my creativity is a different kind of art. And I want to share this with all of you, is I feel really moved and inspired to share what I know about the stuff that's going to hit, could potentially hit entrepreneurs in the money-making aspects, right? Is like sales slow down, pricing might get wonky, refunds, renewals, not feeling good about selling. How do you course correct offers for your new client? Because everybody, all your beloveds and your clients' needs just shifted, right? And maybe your clients and beloveds, we use the word beloveds for clients, it's Shiloh's word, but clients and customers, it's like, and maybe that group shifted, right? And so how do you adapt? How do you be agile with that?
Julie, please teach us about that. We need that, yeah. Because that is a voice, like the little people who are month to month, even, let me just be
clear. Yeah, I know. Well,
even those, my friends, all my women friends who maybe they're, you know, $100,000 company or $1 million company, they are still maybe 2 months away from.
Yes.
There are not reserves. When you're an entrepreneur,
yeah.
Sometimes you get it, but boy, you know, so the edge is very near for entrepreneurs. I've already gotten a couple of emails from companies I've invested in. They're already folding. I'm like, we're just getting started.
We just
fold and not pay bills for a little while or something. Like, come on, let's hold on. Right. And so for you to talk to us about that, like I woke up a couple of days ago and I was like, we need the coalition for entrepreneurs, like the old style, like guilds. Right.
Yes.
We have
a
guild that's internal, but we need one for entrepreneurs. And how I started with that is as I wrote a letter that is a template for how to deal with in-person cancellations. I was like, I could just do this one thing, because I started getting messages almost immediately from my entrepreneur friends who, like, by the time you book a program, you have invested tens of thousands of dollars, especially destination locations.
And oh my gosh, yes.
People were facing refunds of $60,000, $40,000, even $100,000. And I was like, oh my gosh. So what I could do is I drafted a letter of how they could, I said, first of all, these are unprecedented times. You need to ask for time. Here's how you can ask for time and share your situation. And then also just do the math. If one woman refunds, you know, $61,000 is, you know, then her company becomes destabilized. And if those people cared enough about you to invest in your program, maybe they could wait on their $1,000 just a couple of months so you can renew and sustain. Yeah. And I just felt such a heart for how much I know that entrepreneurs work to get where they are.
Yes.
And one of our qualities is we keep reinvesting and reinvesting and reinvesting. We put reinvesting over our reserves, right? So
yeah, we've had this conversation, and you know, I was on the phone with my astrologer and she said, please teach me how to negotiate. I don't know how to negotiate, please. And I'm like, that's when I went, this was all the stuff I did in corporate America when we were in huge economic downturns, and my phone would blow up. I need you in the office by 1 o'clock, you know, in these board meetings. And that's what I'm going to do. So go to creatingcash.net. And if you enter your email address, I have a little window of registration. We're going to do this on Facebook, and I'm going to give you videos about all this stuff. And we're going to have some live coaching calls about exactly how to navigate this stuff and create a new refund policy, a renewal policy, ways to shift your offers that meet your clients' needs now, ways to restructure things, because I mean, we're in this for a little while. Right. Yeah. And even if you have cash for 2 months, you're going to miss inflow for a couple months. So that means, let's look at this as a minimum of a 6-month gig, right? Right now, it could be a year. But let's be smart about this. And that's why my heartfelt revolution is about entrepreneurial, spiritual, conscious, caring women have to also be able to be that and be very grounded in real world reality, creating results in the way this paradigm works. So that we can keep the lights on and keep spreading the light.
That's right. And redefine what we're thinking of as the bottom line.
That's right. Well, and I think a lot of the entrepreneurial women that I meet, even 6 and 7 figure women, are focused on a body of work and a piece of thing that they do. I feel like you guys are really the ones carrying the seeds of optimal blueprints that will be revolutionary come a bit time in the future, right? And so I think that part of what I see is this cracking open of people with new voices that are aligned, that have been talking about their thing to their communities of 100-200 people for a while, are now going to be able to be heard.
Yeah, I love that, Julie. And back to what people who have a call to revolution say, that even those of us who are really gifted with a gift can move into service for a quarter. Yes. And say you're going to come into an organization and say, you know, I'm going to dedicate 3 months of my gifts to you.
Yeah.
Here are my gifts. I'm doing this as volunteer. And as soon as it makes sense, I want to share my gift. Here is my gift. And here's how I can contribute. In the meantime, let me get to know you and how you work and provide service. So you're clear in the beginning that you have a gift to give that is aligned with the vision of the organization that's causing the revolution, but you're willing to come in and do the work first. And every spiritual tradition has this, right? You do your seva, you do your service, you scrape the wax off the floor, as my priest says. There are things that you have to do.
And you love doing it while you're doing it.
Right, right. That is the work. And my teacher Sue would call this, you know, the chop wood, carry water. Like I wanted to make clay bowl and she made me make the clay. So it would be months before I could actually throw the bowl. We are missing this kind of rigor in our culture. And it has caused a lot of problems. And one of my gifts is that I was trained to love hard work, and I do, and I don't resent it or resist it. I love what I do. And so to bring that love, even in times of doing the parts I don't love so much, on behalf of our organization or others, because I also serve other organizations. And then when you're there and you're consistent and you have a gift to bring, you'll be called on. And we need gifted people to move into already existing structures, because unless you can already finance a revolution, then I think if you could find one that you love and just give yourself into that, I think that could be really powerful for this time.
I just want to take a breath on everything that you said there. You know, I think we all have such a powerful piece to carry. And in the philanthropy, the giving, the benevolence, the sharing, right? And doing it with the consciousness of serving, not servitude. Be very clear, not servitude. That means including your own new revised need set, right? That's probably changing and just starting to, we haven't even landed or settled, or this thing hasn't even reached whatever its pinnacle is. And so it's moment by moment, day by day. And you can carry the revolutionary heart. But I love what Shiloh is really saying here about being mindful and thoughtful about where can you plug and play so that there isn't this big Herculean effort or heroine-esque effort to try to put something out into the world that you have to do all the heavy lifting around, right? And how can you augment and support other people who already have something going that their customer base or client needs or community has shifted in needs as well. And now you can offer something they don't have to go figure out. And then we all support. And when we work in a world like that, I think everybody's nervous system will calm down, because in our spiritual community, it's very much a premise. One of the core premises is no soul left behind. And so if we get on board with nobody's going to be left behind, and that my giving creates overflow.
Yeah.
Instead of the creating overflow so you can give, It's what about shifting the posture to my giving does create overflow and there's plenty, and I'm being mindful of what I need to.
That's right. Absolutely. And if the other thought for this time for of revolution is to consider projects instead of companies. So to
love that idea. Say a bit more.
So, say you have a vision for a revolution and you say, you know, this is a, to yourself, this is a seed revolution. I'm going to do this project for 6 months and I don't see it out there. Maybe you don't see the thing that's your thing that's lighting you up, but maybe there are seven other women who have their own revolution too that they want to cause, but it's just not the right time. So now there's eight women, each with individual revolutionary hearts. And then you look at the structure and you say, okay, what is the common thread between these eight revolutionary hearts? And you find a category that matches all of those. You all care about meditation, or you all care about science, or you all care about pets, or you all care about spiritual communication, whatever it is. You find the common thread between the gifts. And then you create a project where each one of those women is able to fully share her gifts.
Yeah.
And then there's also the opportunity for eight women's financial power to finance the initial offering, and then to offer membership models or ask for funding or whatever it is, right? Contact organizations who do flow through funding for, you know, foundations, whatever it is. But just to, you want to make sure that you're being fed creatively. Mm-hmm. So if you can't find a place where you feel like that's already happening, where you can share your voice, then call a group of women together and then you all stick together. That also becomes your support group. It also, no one owns it. I'm all about projects that no one owns. And then at the end of that 6 months or 3 months, then you say, did we like it or not? Where are we now? And then you actually close that project. Like, you don't actually just keep that project going. You actually complete that cycle.
Yeah.
And then you say, what else wants to happen? And the what else wants to happen is another level of potential buy-in.
Okay. Beautiful. I think
it's all about structure. You know me, Julie.
Yeah. No, I love that. Right. And everybody should re-listen to that, like, little 2 minutes right there, because that's powerful in a whole nother way to do it. So we are going to go to a quick break. But before we do, I just want to share with you ways that you can find Shiloh is to go to the Red Thread Cafe on Facebook.
Red Thread Cafe Classroom.
Cafe Classroom. Red Thread Cafe Classroom on Facebook and join that community. There's always lots of goodies going on. You can also join Richly Abundant Women on Facebook. And when we come back, I will share with you some free gifts that we both have for you. And so we're going to take a short break. Stay tuned. When we come back, we're going to continue our discussion on resiliency, revolutionaries, and revenue. And we'll be right back.
Have you ever wondered what your pets think about? Do you know what your pets are saying to you? Dr. Monica will be your pet's translator to help you understand what your pets are trying to communicate to you. Enhance the bond with your furry friends on Pets Talk with pet communicator Dr. Monica each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about Dr. Monica, visit PetCommunicator.com.
Is traditional medicine not working for you? Do you still feel as if your health isn't 100%? Here at the Holistic Medical Center, Dr. Nushin Darvish and the qualified staff look through the dimensions of wellness and start a healing plan prioritized to your needs. Our physicians assess the whole you until complete health is achieved. Get the help you need by visiting drdarvish.com or call 425-451-0404.
Living Lighter Radio with Jason and Patricia. We have an ecosystem approach to your life. Tune in weekly every Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio as we, Jason and Patricia, discuss what's truly holding you back. We offer you the tools you need to reach your goals and at the same time be living lighter. For more information about Living Lighter, visit www.livinglighter.org.
Break your snooze button habits for good with the Soul Stretching Sisters on the I Am Power Hour with me, Terry J. Walker.
and me, Dr. Pat, on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Pump up your spiritual muscle as we share stories.
Aspire higher.
And live a whole lot larger.
To help you unleash your powered up.
Pumped up. I am soul stretching success.
Anything can happen when we take to the airwaves.
And all things become possible during the I Am Power Hour.
Are you done being afraid to jump into the life that's waiting for you? Are you ready for a real shift? I invite you to tune in every Tuesday with me, Tracy L., on the Tracy L. Clark Show, where we will teach you how to live your extraordinary life. At 8 a.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio, where I will provide the tools and the steps needed to help you transcend perceived limitations and move forward with an extraordinary life. For more information, visit me at TracyLClark.com.
Yeah, yippee-skippee to that, baby. We're not done yet. Some of us are out here to educate and inspire. This year, 2020, is the year we gotta show me the money in the cash flow. I'm Dr. Pat. This is the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By.
Visit thedrpatshow.com.
Welcome back to Richly Abundant Women, where you can learn to shift from yearning to powerfully earning. I am with the magical, the wonderful, the creative, the philanthropic, amazing Shiloh Sophia McLeod. And before we continue our discussion on resilience, revolutions, and revenue, I just want to share with you that Shiloh has a free gift for you. It's called The Illustrative Woman. You can find it at theillustrativewoman.com. Do you want to say just a few quick words about that?
Yeah, I'll just say that drawing activates the right and left brain. And drawing is not for the talented. Talented people use it, but actually drawing is something that all children did. And at a certain point, we stopped. Something that happens all the time in corporate, at the whiteboard, everyone is actually has been connected with drawing of some kind. And so when you draw, you can actually reduce your stress level in 45 seconds. It is a tool that is shockingly powerful and changes and activates brain and heart. And also, even though you're just moving your hand, it creates embodiment. So instead of all the get really still and listen, which that has benefit too, but a lot of us are buzzy creative types, drawing has a similar effect on the neural pathways as the stillness. But you're in motion, so there's an embodiment. So in Illustrative Woman, there's an opportunity for you to draw and to practice what it means to be metacognitive, which is basically to think about thinking. So in Illustrative Woman, you'll be thinking about certain inquiries regarding your life and your vitality and your creativity, and you're drawing while you're asking a question, and then you're seeing what arises for you. Mm-hmm. So I'd love for you to just come check it out. I mean, what have you got to lose? You can meet the muse.
You'll have a good time, that's for sure. So go to theillustrativewoman.com and you can find that there. This is a phenomenal time to actually engage with what's happening and all the changes and figure out how you can pivot and be agile and get access to new information that's coming to you that you can put out into the world. And if you want to join my group where I'm going to share everything I know about how to get through challenging times like this and create cash flow. I have a little mini group gathering course. I don't even know what the word is for it, but it's called Creating Cash Flow in Changing Times. You can go to creatingcash.net and sign up for that right now. We're going to do it for the next 3 weeks in Facebook. I'm going to share everything I can with you. All right. So back to our topic. So I had to call it revenue because I like the alliteration of the three R's. What we really mean, and I think one of the places this comes from, is you wrote a poem in your book, I believe it's Shelter of the Sacred, right? Where one of the lines that always jumps out at me is who we are becoming, you know, I'm going to paraphrase a bit, but who we are becoming are women who have to fund our own revolutions or fund our own visions or fund our own contributions in the world, right? You've already given us some beautiful ideas in the last segment about how to become more collaborative around that. So we're not doing all the heavy lifting. So let's talk a little bit about this idea of funding the revolution, or I say it another way, which is really about being at cause for being beautifully resourced from within ourselves.
Mm-hmm. And also just to say revenue, like so many other words, has such a beautiful etymology. It's really to return, to come back. And so we're really talking about that we're sowing seeds and it's the revenue is coming back to us. I love that Rev is also in revolution. Yeah. I love that it's in reverend. I love that it's in just so many other ways. And so to think about revenue, to expand your framework of how you think about what revenue means for you.
Start. I love that. Yeah. The process of writing a guidebook about financial terms, what they mean in quote our world.
Yes.
But what's the energetic background? Like how can you activate them energetically, right? And have them be aligned? Because I hear too many women really like anything to do with money or cash flow, money, revenue, income, net earnings, retained earnings, investment, finances go, or like they're just like
glazed over. Yeah.
Glazed over, right? If there's a CPA or an accountant or an investment advisor in the room, it's like you probably canceled 10 times before you actually showed up. You can't keep doing that. And there's if we can shift energetic of the paradigm by becoming more aware and holding it, I call them prosperity postures, but holding it in a particular way that's so much more enlivening and amplifying and kind of brings the type of generosity and philanthropic, charitable and benevolent spirit in which we would actually really like to partake in that whole paradigm with.
And that's so important, the language, because the language carries the energy and then, yeah, the dominant paradigm. As you know, Julie, we have the class called The Dancing Entrepreneur that I also teach at the United Nations this year, which I was so excited to teach.
I was excited for you.
Of the women who are serving others how to think this way. But like Julie's talking about something I've taught for 20 years, which is to take the classic business terms and within your own business, make a new business plan where instead of target audience, people come beloveds. Instead of financial plan, it's a prosperity plan. Yeah. You know, to really reclaim all of that and to reclaim it for yourself. A perfect example in the business world is that when you capture someone's email, they go into a funnel to be dripped information to. And I just sit, or a bucket, right? I just simply don't want to treat the people that I'm calling to me as if they're in a bucket with drips. That's just gross. And so changing all the language. So we call it the golden bowl, you know, like they're coming into the golden bowl. And it took some time for us to call it bowl instead of bucket. Yeah. But they're in the golden bowl. And so we're like, should we mail to the bowl? Should we talk to the bowl? This bowl, that bowl, there's these different bowls. And so making these shifts of thinking of the people in your community as a beloved instead of a freaking target. These are violent terms to me. These are not acceptable.
Right.
So reclaiming so that you feel good that the people you're calling in, you want to love them with your gifts, not sell them something. I mean, the selling something happens as a result of bringing them to share in your gifts.
Yeah.
That's not the first line. The first line of revenue is the thing you love that you want to share that revolutionizes the world. And I think that companies who, during these challenging times, who do serve have a higher chance of resiliency. So even if you don't have a company that has been serving, how could you repurpose like that Los Angeles garment company who's now making the masks, or like people are doing, I'm loving seeing the resiliency.
Yes. And the creativity.
Creativity, just like we can shift that, we can do this. Now we're going to work at home. Now we're going to do it like that. Like this, the resiliency, seeing these stories is just so heartening. And so to ask you, if you are an entrepreneur and corporate, how could you bring an innovative idea to what's already happening that isn't panic-based? And so that's one of the things we've been illustrating inside of Musea so far, is we're not canceling anything that isn't in person, we're canceling. Everything else, we're staying the course. We're going to run it if there's four people or 100. We're going to sustain. We're not moving from panic. Instead of canceling things, we actually move things around to address the current need. And so our whole thing has been like, we're just staying the course, not blind to what the potential is,
right?
Not responding in panic either. And in the 2008-09 debacle, we thrived. Actually, my business revenue went up because we were offering something that was actually needed. And the majority of any money that's created inside of our company goes to pay women who work, not shareholders, not invest in other stuff. Yep. There's nothing. There's simply just people. That's pretty much our company, is just people working.
Another brilliant, I could just bask in it. You know, I thought about that the other day because I was thinking about, you're so good at emphasizing giving women work. Like, it's not just rhetoric. You actually give women work and hire women and pay women. And I was thinking about that the other day because I'm like, all right, who's in my field? Because when I think about revenue, and I'm in the process of developing a new course, it was supposed to launch, we're going to hold it for just a little bit. But one of the big revolutionary ideas is that how we show up as entrepreneurs is we really need to have our revenue aligned with our inner aspirations. And I called that generating revenue for the right reasons. And I was thinking about that because when we're focused on that, we're focused on revenue or money or generating or sales from that perspective, you start to become aware of who's in your field and who's affected. So I have two team members and I have all of my people who caretake my nails, my hair, my eyebrows, they're all out of work. And then I have somebody who's very important to me in South Africa whose business is completely flattened because there's no travel. And it's just a constant, if there's no travel, there's no cash flow, period. And I spent the last four mornings, 5 hours every morning from 6 a.m. helping him revitalize his business and shift and pivot. And so they're going to be launching something tomorrow because of that. And it's like that he can't go away. Like, I can't let that happen. Right. And so I know that me staying prosperous and positive and keeping it going, that fans out to the people who are in my field. And I have someone else who I'm actually, as soon as we hang up, I'm going to Costco to go buy groceries for somebody else who both lost their jobs. But like, that's the kind of thing is like, if I stay prosperous, then I can help all of them. Right. And so let that be what it's about.
Yep.
And orient around that type of benevolence and philanthropy. And I have money that comes in, whether it's not about being employed. I got off that gravy train 12 years ago with strong intentional creativity got me off that gravy train. Trust me. But, you know, I just want to say that to people and share that this is a time to recalibrate and redefine energetically how you're looking at money in your business. And Shiloh's given us incredible heart wisdom here. I'm actually getting choked up. Heart wisdom here about the ways to look at resiliency, you know, how to your contribution, in another word said as revolution and revenue. And so before we close out, Shiloh, I just want to turn it over to you and see if you have any final thoughts for people.
Yeah, I just want you, especially if you're an entrepreneur, to look at, unless you're holding a bunch of assets, what you actually own is not people or stuff. Your business is your ideas and who you serve. It's people and ideas.
Intellectual property.
Yeah. So don't think about whether or not you're profitable right now or what the long term is. No. You are your company. The lights could go off. You are still your company. So what I would say, to make a list of the very, very basic things which continue to allow the lights to stay on literally, and for you to understand that your company isn't going anywhere. You may not have a profitable bottom line this quarter, but you might. And doing work with Julie and things like this could actually, some of us are going to thrive in this time. And some of us are going to give tremendously during this time. If you approach your business like no one can take your business away from you, and that you're going to actually become agile and relevant to the time frame and work on ideas to actually bring your gifts to the world in a new way. And I know you can do it. Think of the legend that you're creating. That's what I keep asking. What is the legend of my company in this cycle?
Oh my God, right? What a great place to leave us. And so I just want to recap that you can receive more information and a free gift from Shiloh that will help you navigate and really dive deeply into a new creative way of being with all of the changes at theillustrativewoman.com. It's also posted in the comments. And you can also join my program, which I'm going to see if I can get Shiloh to come in and do us a little video, creatingcash.net, where that's exactly what we're going to do is navigate this time of creating cash flow. And that means managing our businesses in a way and also elevating and strengthening our wealth consciousness during a time when that's being tested. So with that, I want to just thank you from all of my heart, not just the bottom, but all of my heart for sharing this precious time with me. I know how sacred your time is and just always the profoundness with which you share and the transmission that you so generously offer. It's very well received. And I just deeply thank you and appreciate you.
Oh, Julie, thank you so much. Thank you for being someone who understands what I'm talking about and helps validate and amplify these unique ideas.
Lovely. And so with that, that concludes today's episode of Richly Abundant Women. I hope you will share it with everybody. I hope you will give us a rating and review on iTunes. And we look forward to talking to you in the next show, where this is the place where you get to move from yearning to powerfully earning. I'm Julie Steelman. Thank you so much.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you for listening to Richly Abundant Women on TransformationTalkRadio.com. It's time to change your financial destiny. Head on over to JulieSteelman.com for even more insight into your relationship with money, wealth, and prosperity. As a pioneering change maker, it's time to break free of the making just enough money trap. Take the Blooming Rose Money Quiz and discover exactly how to align your mission, money, and mindset. Discover the savvy secrets to building a radiant financial future based on your vision and values. Your paradigm of success is there for the making. Start the journey today to living richly abundant.